Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, so lift your voice, it's the year of Jubilee, and out of
expect you to come in the clouds. Lord, and as we look forward to that day, as Lord, we count on that day to be as sure as you said it. And since you are faithful, we know it's going to happen. But Lord, until that day, you've given us work to do. And so, Father, we can't do that work without being equipped. And so, Holy Spirit, we ask that today in this time, Lord, as we sing praises, as we worship you through song right now, Lord, as we come to you humbled in heart, humbled, Lord, even in posture, we ask that you would have your way with us, that you would speak to us, that you would, Lord, move us, transform us, Lord, that we would be useful, Lord, that we would give you glory, Father, so that the lost and dying world would come to know you. And so, Lord Jesus, we pray and we ask for that today, that you would help us to cast off any distractions, Lord, the things that are keeping us from actually truly worshiping you in our heart, Lord, in this moment, right now. Lord, that we would actually be set free to praise you, to worship. Lord, the tabernacle was a place where you met with your people. Lord, we are that tabernacle. This is tabernacle. And so, Father, we know you're here. And so, Lord, help us to be here. In your name. For your praise, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
All right, really quickly, just have a seat really quickly. I just got a couple of quick announcements. I don't want to waste a bunch of time with announcements because I want to praise Jesus. Amen? Amen? All right, but we need to know a couple of things. Hey, if you're a guest here, make sure you look in your guest bag, okay? There's some stuff in that guest bag for you. Just check it out. Make sure that you enjoy those things. We are out of the ESV books right here, the 1 Corinthians ESV books, but ordered some more. And so if you need one of those, if you're a guest, like, hey, I got ripped off on my book. You didn't get ripped off. You're just on layaway, okay? So just make sure that I get your name so that you can get one of those books so we can get it to you. Secondly, in the new believers class, finished up today, correct? Okay, finished up today. And so the next steps class, we technically finished up today as well. So the next steps class is going to continue with the next book. So all of you who are in the new believers class, you want to move to the next steps class, this is the time you can join in on the next book. The nice thing about the next steps class is that you can jump in at any time we start a new book. But I'm limited to 20. And when we were in the next steps class this morning, the class said, this room is limited to less than 20. So we're going to get real friendly. So if you're joining the next steps class, one of the rules is you have to shower, apparently. Apparently. Everybody looked at me. Hey, make sure the next steps class starts at 9:30. So make sure next week you're here. If you're the last one and you're number 21, we're kicking you out. All right, we won't kick you out. We'll just put you in the middle. But no, just come to the next steps class. If you're a new believer, or maybe you're a new member, and maybe you haven't really been through any kind of discipleship process, then the new believers class, new members class, it's one and the same. If we don't have any new members, but we have a bunch of new believers or people just starting the discipleship process, that class is starting again next week also. So I asked Alan, are you charged up? Are you ready to go? And he said yes. And so there's a group. If those of you who want to be in that first class, that new believers class, please make sure that you just show up Sunday. Are you going to keep it at 9 or are you going to go at 9:30? Okay, you can keep it at 9 o'clock. So those of you new believers, you have to wake up earlier. You got to be here at 9 for that. All right? Don't let the name new believers. Listen. This is a place, we're going to get a little preachy and sermony before we get started. This is a place where pride is supposed to fall off, right? So don't let the title of new believers like scare you like, oh, I've been walking with Jesus for, here's the thing. It is a great class. All the worship team has been through the new believers class. Many people in this church have gone through it. It doesn't mean that you're quote-unquote not having any maturity. It is just a great study to go through. So please, sign up for one of the classes or just show up. You don't even have to sign up. Next week is the time that you get to just show up, all right? So show up for that. And that's really pretty much, that's all I want to talk about, okay? Because I want to praise the Lord. Amen? Amen? All right, so let's stand up. Let's praise Him.
Oh, happy day.
Psalm 16:9 says, therefore my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore.
Oh, happy day.
Oh, happy day.
Oh, happy day.
Oh, happy day.
When Jesus washed.
When Jesus washed.
Jesus washed.
When Jesus washed.
Jesus washed.
When Jesus washed, He washed my sins away. Oh, happy day.
Yeah, it was a happy day.
Oh, happy day.
Oh, oh, happy day.
Oh, happy day.
Oh, oh, happy day.
Oh, happy day.
When Jesus washed.
When Jesus washed.
When Jesus washed.
When Jesus washed.
Wash my sins away.
Oh, happy day.
It was a happy day.
Oh, happy day.
Oh, such a happy day.
Oh, happy day.
Gold Springs Church.
Oh yeah.
Shield about me, my glory, and the lifter of my head.
Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Children are dismissed. Go have some fun. Learn about Jesus.
Well, good morning. Oh, you can do better than that. Good morning. Oh, much better, much better. All right. Something that's also very exciting. If you've looked on the bulletin board in the hallway, you'll notice there's a baptism sheet. We already have somebody who's feeling the call to obey the Lord in baptism, and so we are going to be having baptisms again here very soon. And so, if baptism is something that the Lord has been putting on your heart, maybe you have some questions or something like that, please make sure you come and talk to me so that we can have that discussion, because we are going to celebrate baptisms here relatively soon, because I don't want to keep Greg waiting. He's excited. The Lord has called him to it. I'm excited because I love to get to baptize people. So it's one of those cool things. Baptisms is a big deal around here. We've been doing baptisms on these special occasions, but here's the thing. This next baptism, we're just going to have to do it like we normally do. We're going to have a barbecue. We're going to have to do all this stuff to celebrate afterwards, right? So, and if not, the baptism cake that we do, it's going to be just for Greg, all right? I'm not trying to, like, you know, manipulate you into getting baptized, but there is cake involved, you know. So, good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Hey, we're going to continue in 1 Corinthians, and you remember in Corinth, at the church of Corinth, it's a church where the Holy Spirit is definitely moving. The gifts of God are being exercised and being practiced. And so we have this church who people have given themselves into pride. They've given themselves over into pride, and what's happening is they're being boastful in not only their gifts, I should say the gifts of the Holy Spirit that the Holy Spirit is performing, is manifesting through them. They're boasting in that, and they're talking about how their gifts are better than the other person's or more or all these types of things, you know, arguing like kids do, right? But some of the things that they're also arguing about is who they follow, which pastor you will or which apostle, which person they follow. And a lot of the argument is, well, I follow Paul, I follow Apollos, I follow Peter, like all these people that they follow. And Paul's been addressing that, and he continues to address that here. Now, what he speaks of a couple of things here. What's going to take place in this section of Scripture, we're going to be in chapter 4, just the first 5 verses. But he gives some instruction, and then he gives an explanation, and then he gives an application in these first 5 verses. And so we're going to go through that, and we're going to really just talk about what is a servant or a minister or a pastor, right? Because when we read this, we have the tendency to be like, okay, so this is speaking to me as a servant of Christ. And yes, it speaks to us as servants, but in this letter, in what Paul's talking about, in this context, he's speaking of the pastors. He's speaking of the apostles. And so there are a lot of other scriptures. If you want a good cross-reference for this, which we might read, it's going to be 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 17 through at least 20, but you could go on to probably 22, I would say. We'll read part of it, maybe, if the Lord wills. It's a good cross-reference for this. Another good cross-reference is Hebrews 13:7, where it talks about, hey, this, you know, I love to use this as a pastor. Hey, be a joy to those who have responsibility over you. What I'm saying, what Paul is trying to say here is that, listen, the role of pastor, the role of pastor is a God-ordained position. And so there are responsibilities, there are instructions with it, there are certain things that have to happen. And so it is different, just hear me out, it is different than just being a regular servant. And so listen, when I say regular servant, I'm not putting that one is better than the other. Pastor has a different role. The pastor of the church has the role, we're going to get into some of this, has the role that God has given him as an under-shepherd. The best word is under-shepherd. Christ, it's his church, it is his rule, and the pastor is under him. Part of the problem that we have in the Western church is that people, we talked about this a little bit last week, people inside the church take on too much autonomy. We think that we in the church get to do and say, and everything we do and say and think is equal to everything else. And so we devalue the role, listen, we devalue the role of pastor, not the person. Paul's going to make some of this clear here. We devalue the role of pastor, and we try to say that what the pastor, the responsibility, and what he has in the calling is not equal to what I have to say, or it's equal to what I have to say. Instead of looking at the role as like, no, this is the position God has over the church. And so there is some stuff that comes with that. I'm trying to choose very carefully here to not say that the pastor is more important than anybody, to distinguish the difference between the servant and the servant being the person, the Christian and the role. There are many roles in the church, and the church needs all of the roles to be fulfilled in order to function like it's supposed to. And so it's a correct understanding of these different roles. Well, Paul talks about the pastors here. And so you're like, well, was Paul the pastor? Was Paul the pastor? Was Apollos the pastor? Was Peter the pastor? All to a degree because of the responsibility that they had as apostles and being the ones who started the church and began the church. Ask that pride would leave this building, Lord, and so that we would just follow you in your mighty name. Amen. All right, please have a seat. Oh, there it goes. Another thing's kicking on. So, Paul is describing here the true nature of Christian leadership as servants and stewards of these mysteries that God has given, which we'll get into all of these. He describes some judgment of leaders for their service, because really this is kind of what's happening. Even though people are saying, you know, Paul's my favorite, Apollos is my favorite, this, that, and the other, what they're doing in saying that this one is my favorite, they're passing judgment on the others. Paul's not as good as Apollos, so I follow Apollos. Apollos isn't as good as Paul, so I'm following Paul. I really liked what Peter did, and so I'm going to follow Peter. And what they're doing is saying that the others didn't fulfill them. Okay? And so they're passing judgment, or as he said, pronouncing judgment. And so this is actually what Paul is trying to address. Because remember, the church in Corinth, there are a lot of things happening. It was a powerful city. It was a powerful place. And what happens is Christ comes in and saves people, and then he starts working in the church and manifesting himself through all these things. Really easy to get carried away with. How many of you like to hear job well done? Don't be like, I'm in church, I got to be humble. It's okay. If you do a good job, it's okay to be like, man, hey, you did a good job today, right? So encourage somebody with, hey, you did a good job today. That's okay. That's a good thing. And it's okay to want to do a job well done to where it would deserve an accolade. The problem is when you get caught up in the accolades. And so the Holy Spirit is moving, and what starts to happen is they start getting carried away with the accolades. They start getting carried away in the things that God is doing instead of the God who is doing the things. And so they start giving this credit to these preachers, to these pastors. And so what they do is when they start giving this credit, they actually start taking away from the others and start passing these judgments. Many of you are wondering if I'm going to take a drink of water. I am. But what takes place here? He says, this is how a person should regard us. And so he's speaking about him, Apollos, Peter, anybody in this position, this pastor position, this role. And he says, this is who we are. Even though Paul started the church, and even though Apollos came and he really just like took the truth of God's word and just really opened it up for the church. And even though Peter came and, you know, he supported the church and he did all of these other things, all things that they were supposed to do, Paul says, listen, this is how you should regard us. This is how you should look at us. This is how you should speak of us. So he uses a couple of words here. In the ESV, it's servants and stewards. And so there's two different words here, and that Paul uses servants of Christ here. Now, in this first part, servants of Christ, this is the term for an under rower. Like in these big, you ever see them pictures of them big boats that had rowers, and then they had another level of rowers? So this is an under rower. This is like the bottom level of rower. They're not even like rower first chair, right? They're an under rower. They're in the bottom of this. And so what he says is, when people see us, now he's talking about himself. He says, when people see us, this is how we want them to regard us. Not as the least, but as a servant. Because the under rower, he is the last person, he is the bottom person. He simply just follows orders. He is called to row, nothing else. He's not called to do anything else but row, and so he's an under rower. He's not the head rower. He's not the one counting the chance. He's not doing any of this. He says, as a servant, this is what I want to be known as. This is how you guys should regard us, as an under rower. It means they have no will of their own. They just do the job that they've been set to do. And so you want to be a servant, right? We look at the word servant throughout scriptures, and it's used in different ways, and we're like, I got to serve, and so I got to serve one another, and I got to do these things, and I got to do this, and I got to do this, and I got to do this, and we get caught up in who it is to serve or how we're supposed to serve, when the point is just serving. No questions asked. You are called to serve, and so serve. He says, this is how you should regard us, as these servants, servants of Christ, though. So the picture, and this ties in with the ministers or with the stewards, this ties in together. And what it is, it's the under rower just rows because the person guiding the ship says you need to row. And when I say row faster, you row faster. When I say stop, you stop. When I say, hey, let's go nice and easy, that's what they do. You see, there's a head of the ship, and this under rower knows that his only job is to row as the head calls. And so that's what he does. How many of you like rowing a boat? How many of you like rowing a boat with somebody else? Who likes to be in a canoe? Some kids just came back from camp. I didn't ask them who did the canoe. Part of the fun in the canoe, right, is you get to splash the other person, right? No, listen, it fits. Hang on. It fits. You get to splash the other person, and if you're, you know, still like the biggest child in the boat, you think of it first. So if we're ever in the boat together, trust me, you're getting splashed. Okay, so you get a splash, and part of the fun is like if you row faster, right, you get to turn in the boat, and you get to do, some of us haven't grown up. Well, I'm with you. But you understand what I mean. So when I'm in a canoe with you, am I listening to the head of the boat? Or am I listening to my flesh? Because I want to splash you, and I want to turn in circles, and I want to do all this stuff. And here's what happens. I am not a faithful rower. If our goal is to get to the other side, I'm not being a faithful rower. I am not being faithful to the task or to the taskmaster. I am being faithful to myself. And so I start making my own rules. Or I don't really care what the rules are, and I just want to have fun. I just want to have fun. And so I'm going to splash you, and I'm going to take us in circles. And I no longer have a canoe partner. I can see that right now. But the under rower isn't worried. Now listen, isn't worried about having fun. Isn't worried about fulfilling the desires of their flesh. This under rower says, okay, the head says, we're going to the island. I know and I trust in the head, and we're going to the island, and whatever's on the island is what's best. And so they have no issue serving the head. And so there's no questions in serving the head. They just row. And so that's the first part. That's the first side of this. And Paul starts with that. He says, a servant of Christ first. First and foremost, he wants to be known as a servant of Christ. And this ties through this whole section, you'll see. But then the next is the stewards of the mysteries of God. Now here's, excuse me. And so here was a steward. A steward was a slave who administered all the affairs of his master's household, though he himself owned nothing. Right? Remember the story of Joseph? He was second in Potiphar's house. Only Potiphar was above him, but he owned none of it. Right? But he had rule of absolutely everything. How many of you, listen, we're not going to go English here or anything like that. How many of you understand how the system works in England? Where is the authority? The crown is the authority, correct? Now, who administers all the authority of the crown? Who do you hear about? Right? Of course, you know, we hear about the Queen of England, blah, 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 all that kind of stuff. But who actually administers all of that authority and all of that power? The Prime Minister, right? The Prime Minister. So the minister or the steward, they minister. They administer. And so what they have is they don't have anything. They don't own any of it. But what they are is they've been given the administration of the authority, right, of the head. And so when he says a steward of the mysteries, moreover, is required. So these servants and stewards, they are under rowers who have also been put in authority. They've been given the task of being faithful to serve the task with the authority given by the head. And so this is what he says. First and foremost, they should be a servant of Christ. Now here's where we get some of the things. The church now says, oh, the pastor should serve me. No, no, no. The pastor, listen, the pastor is the servant of the church, but the church is not the master of the pastor. Right? The pastor is called to serve the church, but the church is not called to be the master of the pastor. Christ is the master. And so often what happens, is it's like, well, the pastor didn't do this, and 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 somebody gets upset, and somebody gets, and they think that the pastor's supposed to be at their beck and call. Because what happens is we get selfish. Listen, we get selfish. This is all of us. We get selfish. And we think that our need in this moment is more important than anything else that might possibly be taking place. You know? Like, I'm the only thing that the world is revolving around. And so if this, not, and the pastor has so many different things. He has to be a faithful servant to Christ. And so here's the deal. If the pastor just doesn't care, that's dangerous, right? But when we don't know the whole thing, the whole goings on of everything, we have no right to be selfish. And this is kind of what he's going to get into as well. And so this steward, what did they steward? They stewarded the mysteries of God. Now here's what's required of these stewards. One is that they were given the responsibility of the mysteries of God. Now here's another problem we have. This comes back with the autonomy. We think that we don't need to be under the rule of a pastor. We don't need the pastor to teach us anything. We don't need any of this kind of stuff because I know everything. And man, my Bible study is so amazing. And I don't need the pastor to teach me this, that, and the other. Here's the truth. The mysteries of God are revealed by God, but through your pastors. Now, that doesn't mean that he can't reveal things to you. But just hear me out. What Paul is saying here is these mysteries of God, when he uses this word mystery, the Greek word is mysterion, and what the Greek word means is that unless God reveals it through this avenue, you in your human weakness cannot understand it. You being all of us. So when we say, oh, you know what? I don't need a pastor. I don't know. You absolutely do. The church and the pastor and the role is all part of what God says. And so when we say, oh, we don't need any of this, we can't say that and be faithful to Scripture. It's the way God has designed it, not man. Whenever man gets involved, that's when we start to get a little screwy. But if we are obedient to what God's word has said, it starts to fit and it starts to work. You know why? Because God is a way better planner than all the rest of us. Amen? And so what happens, he says, here's the deal. These mysteries. Now, these mysteries are not simply the gospel. We know that Corinthians, when Paul said, hey, listen, when I came to Corinth, I decided to make sure that I knew nothing, meaning preaching, not being devoted to anything but the gospel, but Christ and him crucified, because he was establishing a church. He was establishing a church. And so what do you need to establish the church? The foundation. The foundation being Christ. Being salvation is made possible only in Christ Jesus. And so Paul comes and he says, here's the deal. I started the church on the foundation, the only foundation, and that's Christ crucified. Now when he talks about the mysteries, it's not just the gospel, because the gospel is part of those mysteries. How many of you could follow Jesus before the Spirit drew you? Not a one of you. You see, even the gospel was a mystery until the Holy Spirit took that truth and punctured your heart. Impressed it upon you that you needed a Savior, that guess what? You couldn't be it, that Christ was the only one. That was a mystery. Even if you knew the truth, there was something that didn't, from here to here, right? There was something that didn't, okay, I know that Jesus is the Savior, I know all that stuff, but there's a day that it actually hit right here. It was a mystery. And I didn't even understand the mystery until it actually hit right here, and it was like, oh, I've been my own Savior for way too long. You see, if the Lord wouldn't have punctured my heart, if he wouldn't have pressed himself on my heart, I would have died with a head full of knowledge that Jesus was Savior, but me still being on the throne. And so the gospel is a mystery that you need God to reveal it to you. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care any of that stuff. Unless the Father draws you, unless the Spirit draws you, unless the Father draws you, unless the Son is revealed to you, you can't come to him. You can't. It's a mystery until that happens. Well, here's the thing. He's talking about the whole rest of the doctrines, the whole rest of the Bible. And some of you might want to throw out 1 John. Well, you don't need anybody to teach you. In 1 John, he's not saying that this is not supposed to take place because you have the Holy Spirit of God. What he's saying is you have the Holy Spirit of God who is your ultimate teacher, but he uses the avenue that he's already established in the church. And so you got a couple of different things taking place. And so the mysteries are everything in the Bible. It's all of God's revealed truth that he has to reveal, because we cannot, in our human weakness, understand it. How many of you got saved and you just knew everything in the Bible? Don't put your hand up. None of us do. This is a learning, right? This is a growing. This is what's happening. And so we continually need the mysteries to be unveiled. How many of you read a scripture once and you just kind of read across it? You're like, oh, that's cool scripture. And then you read it maybe even years later and you're like, dang, that really just like, that cut me. Like that showed me. Oh, wait a second. How come I read that like 2 years ago? Hopefully it wasn't 2 years ago. Well, it depends on how your Bible reading plan is, but you know what I mean. Like, man, 2 years ago when I read that, it was important and I understood it. But man, when I'm reading it right now, you see, it was a mystery. It was a mystery. You understood it, but it wasn't until it was applied. And so Paul says, listen, we're stewards of this. These aren't our mysteries. I cannot come up here and think of anything that hasn't been said. You know how long this word has been being preached? Much longer than I've been alive. You know how much access you have to sermons, to different versions of this, all this kind of stuff. Listen, it is out there. You know why? Because it's not ours. And there's nothing that I can say. There's no way I can read this. There's no way that I could write this in a letter to you. There's no way that I can take this and make it apply to you, because it's not my mystery. I am just a steward of it. And so here's what it means to be a steward of it. I have to be faithful to the word. There's a hard part of this. There's a beauty in that, guess what? I'm not responsible to say anything other than what the word says. But it's also a great responsibility and a great fear that says I don't get to say anything that the word doesn't say either. There's a time every Sunday, sometimes a couple times a Sunday, When I leave after the second service and I go up into my office, or if I leave after first service and I go up into my office, there's a time, just a little transparency here, there's a time where I'm speaking to the Lord and saying, Lord, was I faithful to your word or was I faithful to myself? Here's what it means to be a steward. They're not my mysteries. And if I speak of myself, I better go do business with the Lord and repent and ask the Lord, not just for forgiveness, but ask the Lord to say, okay, Lord, would you just keep that in the forefront of my mind? It's stewardship. It's his mystery. I'm just a steward of it. I just have to take what he says and what he gives and give it to you. That's the steward. That's what Paul says. Listen, this is who we are. We're servants of Christ and stewards. We just take and we give. We just take and we give. He says here, and be found faithful. That's the other part, be found faithful. Paul never says he never screwed up. If you read through the Bible and you're like, man, Paul never screwed up, he never made a mistake, then you didn't read the Bible proper. Paul got in arguments. There was all kinds of stuff. He was human just like the rest of us. So when he says that the steward be found faithful, it's not perfect. If you're looking for a perfect pastor, man, then get to heaven. Because he's sitting at the right hand of God. He's our perfect high priest, right? I mean, he's, right, that's, so that, but faithful. Now here's where we get, faithful to you? Yeah, that comes, but it's faithful to him and it's faithful to his word. And so this is what he calls out in this first part of this instruction. This is the instruction. The instruction for the steward, the instruction for the servant of Christ. This is the instruction, that he be found faithful. That he be a steward. And then he gets into this explanation of this faithfulness, of this stewardship, of this. Verse 3, but with me it's a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by any human court. In fact, I don't even judge myself, for I'm not aware of anything against myself. Now here, as we get into this, right, this is the judgment part. This is the explanation part. And so what Paul is using this section for, this explanation, he says, listen, here's the deal. I don't care what you guys think. You're like, wow, that's dangerous. No, it's not. He says, as a faithful steward, as a servant of Christ, he says, I don't care what you think. What I care about is being faithful to God and his word. Now, that doesn't mean that what you think and how you feel is not important to him as a fellow Christian or as somebody who has the responsibility, but when it comes to proclaiming the word and being faithful to the word, it doesn't matter because he doesn't serve you, he serves Christ. Serving you comes because he serves Christ. And so if you think that you should persuade him to what he's supposed to do, then he is now being unfaithful to God. And so the explanation in this, when he says, listen, I don't care if you judge me. In fact, your judgment doesn't stick. It doesn't matter what you think in this. As long as I'm faithful to God's word, you can say whatever you want about Pastor Paul. You can say whatever you want about Pastor Apollos. You can say, but here's the deal, if they've been faithful to God and to his word. You see, the church, you know, we have this whole, well, the church should get to vote on all these things and all this kind of stuff and all this kind of stuff, right? And so we say, well, this is church government. This is church. And so if this isn't what this, and this isn't what this, and this isn't what this. So let's say the whole church decides we want to vote on something that goes against God's word. The pastor says, I don't really care what you guys want in regards to this. I have to answer to God. And so Paul's not being heartless. Paul is very clearly explaining that his responsibility is not to give in to the desires and to the wills of the people, that he has got to remain faithful to God and to his word. And so he says, here's the deal. You guys can't judge me. In fact, he even makes this statement. I don't even judge myself. He said, there's no human court who can judge me. And he's not saying this pompously. He understands who his judge is. His judge is God. He says, it is the Lord who judges me. He says, I don't think it's a big deal. I don't think it's important. You can't judge me. He says, I don't even judge myself. And then he throws this in there. He's like, I'm not aware of anything that I'm guilty of. Man, how many of you can think a couple things, right? If you're like, hey, if the Lord were to just kind of pull up this whole list of sins, there's something on there. No, that's not what he's saying. Paul's not saying he's not a sinner. Paul's saying, I don't judge myself because I can't think of any way that I have been unfaithful to his word. Not in his life. right? In his proclamation, in his leading. Anybody stumble this last week? Let me ask you this. I know some of you, as you got ready for church, some of you stumbled, didn't you? Or no, here's as your children got or did not get ready for church, some of you stumbled, did you not? Correct. Some of you have spouses who are difficult. Quiet, you. It's okay. Some of you stumble because of, right? He's not talking about stumbling. What he says is, hey, listen, in regards to this, I have to speak to God. God's my judge. He's like, I don't judge myself. He's like, I let God judge me. It means he spends time with the Lord saying, Lord, my life is open. This is what it is. My ministry is yours. Have I been faithful? It means he doesn't just run up and go and start doing whatever he wants. It means he is spending time with the Lord. He is being faithful to what God is giving him. These apostles, remember in Acts, what did the first church start to? They devoted themselves to what? To what? Preaching? No. What did they devote themselves to? Praying. What else? Fellowship. What else? To the apostles' teaching. Because the apostles were getting directly from God the doctrines. They were getting the New Testament, not just fulfillment, but the New Testament arrangement or way of living the Old Testament commands. And so they were devoted to that. But notice it was God's word. It was what God was giving the apostles. And so Paul says, listen, I don't even judge myself. He says, because guess what? Anybody, who in here is your own harshest judge? Right? You're most strict with yourself, right? Like we won't get into the whole judgy point your fingers yet. We won't get into that like other people, right? How many of you, you're like, man, I don't even need anybody else to tell me my faults, right? Anybody in here? I don't need anybody else because guess what? I know. Paul's saying, listen, I don't even do that. You're like, whoa, why not? Paul says, I don't judge myself because you know what happens when you start to judge yourself? When you're always harsh on yourself, you will always be harsh on yourself and you will start looking for harsher ways and harsher things to tell yourself about yourself. And now here's what this word for judgment, here's what he means in judgment. This judgment, it means, Bengel says it best, he says to decide on judgments. So it's like where you, okay, there's this judgment, and so you've decided on it. And so you've already passed judgment because you've decided on it. And so as he says, it's to pronounce judgment or exercise judgment in a way that only God has the right to exercise. That doesn't mean that your works are never put to the test of your own conscience, to the test of the Word of God. It doesn't mean that. But it means you start to exercise the judgment that only God has. You know, when I go to my office and I say, okay, Lord, was I faithful to your Word? When I do that, it's not about if somebody comes and says, oh, Pastor, that was a great sermon. Or, Pastor, you know what? I had this one lady one time that I mispronounced something. She's like, I went to seminary, and this is how you pronounce it. I was like, okay. I'm sorry. I don't know. What do you want me to? I don't go up there because of what you guys say, good or bad. Because here's the thing. What you say, both good or bad, honestly, depends on if you're paying attention to the Spirit of God. That's truly what it is. I'm going to tell you something, secret. I don't see anybody asleep right now. Well, I see one little guy. You know one of the reasons I believe God made me a pastor? Because I'd be asleep right there. The only way I could stay awake for church was for him to make me a pastor. It's one of the But you know, I'm just going to tell you. It's because I am not open in that. And I'm going to tell you this, a little transparency. It's because there's a certain amount of pride that will be like, oh, man, I've been through the Bible. I know all these stuff. Hey, I've been a pastor. And so for me, I have to be intentional to be okay. Not what is the pastor going to say, but, Lord, what are you saying to me? Holy Spirit, what are you drawing me to? Because it doesn't matter who's standing up here if they're being faithful to the Word of God. And so I go up there not based on what you say, not based on what I think. I go up there to be like, okay, Lord, I need you to make sure that I was clear, that I was good to your word, that I didn't mishandle it, that I didn't feed poison when I need to be feeding truth. And I let him deal with me. And I let him show me. Because I have to be responsible to him. Because he's the judge. It's his work. And so he says, therefore, do not pronounce judgment, right? That's what he moves to. Paul says, here's the deal. I'm not acquitted just because I don't see anything. I'm not acquitted. He says, just because I don't see anything. No, it doesn't mean that he's guilt-free. You hear that? But he says in this next part, he says, don't pronounce judgment. He says, I'm not saying that I'm guilt-free. I'm not saying that I don't have any of this. But what I am saying is don't pass judgment. Don't pass judgment. Listen, do you come to church? Do you come to church already in the Spirit? Already asking the Lord, hey, listen, Lord, would you just make my heart ready to worship you? And sometimes, like, here's the thing. Like, man, I hope they play that song. You know, the one song, the one that's your favorite. You're like, man, I hope they play that song. And you get here, and what if the song's not played? Are you like, I can't believe the worship team didn't play my song. It isn't, right? Hopefully it doesn't ruin your worship. But what about like when it comes to the word? Man, I hope pastor's funny today in his sermon. I hope the sermon really just speaks to me. How about this? Lord, what do you have for me today? What do you have for me today? Because this is what he says. You guys are, not you guys. You guys in Corinth are following personalities. He says what you need to be following is the word of God. And so he says, do not pronounce judgment. Do not exercise judgment. Do not decide on a judgment. He says, because it brings problems. He says, listen, there's a time. Therefore, do not pronounce judgment before the time. What time is that? So like at 12:37, do we just get to let it all fly? Right? No, we're going to have communion, so be in prayer. All right? No. No, at the time, he's talking about this time when the Lord is coming. When the Lord comes back, guess what he's coming to do? Just take a guess. He already came to forgive sins, right? He came to be the atonement. He came to forgive sins. There's been this real long delay, even if he comes back today. There's been this real long delay. That he's been long-suffering, that he's been patient, that he's been offering forgiveness to the world. So when he comes back, what do you think is going to happen since he's already taken care of forgiveness? Judgment. And so let's just think about it for just a second, even if you have to close your eyes. The last judgy thing you thought, right? Now, I'm not even going to say that you said. The last judgy thing that you thought, I'm even going to take it one step further. The last judgy thing that you thought, and you came up and you decided that it was right, that what you think and what, like, it's right, and you need to maybe go tell that person. Okay? It's just, according to the word of the Lord, what if he says, listen, you wait. I want you to wait until Jesus comes back before you say that to that person. How many of you are like, you're just so anxious to judge somebody else, you're just like, man, Jesus, come back now. Jesus, come back now, because I need to get this out. I need to go tell that person what's wrong with them. I need to go tell this person what I think about them. I need to go tell this person how I'm right, how whatever. Well, according to the word of the Lord, where he says, hey, don't do that. You actually wait for Jesus to come back. And here's what happens. When Jesus comes back, you're going to be standing before him. You won't have any time to be like, Jesus, hang on just a second. Time out. I got to get Roy. Because we got to talk about Roy. You and me together got to talk about Roy. That's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. And so he says, don't pronounce judgment. He says, before the time, before the Lord comes. Now, here's the truth. When Jesus comes, Jesus comes, let's say we're going to see him in the clouds. We're going to see him coming, right? We're going to see him coming. How many of you are going to be like, okay, here it comes. Now it's time for me to start passing judgment. Any of you think that's going to take place in your head or in your heart? How many of you are going to be like, no, I'm here, right? You're going to be like, Jesus, get me. Don't forget me. I'm just right here. Put your little tractor beam. Suck me up. Like, I'm ready to go. That's what you're going to be looking forward to. And so when Paul says, in that light, listen, all this judgment that you want to pronounce, all this judgment that you think, all this judgment that comes really means nothing. This is why he says, wait until that day. Because in that day, you're going to realize that your salvation, you're going to realize your salvation. And if nothing else, you're going to realize all the judgment that you deserved from the Lord, he has forgiven you because of his cross. And so when you look at other people, be like, okay, so their wrong's not so wrong. When we look at it through the cross, when we look at one another the way that he calls us to, man, what somebody else did is really not that important if we're actually serving Christ, if we're actually following Christ. And so here's what Paul says. Listen, this is what I look forward to. He says he's going to bring to light everything that's hidden. And he's going to disclose the purposes of the heart. Now, ooh, that one's like, right? He's going to bring everything out to the light. How many of you don't shine a flashlight under your bed? Right? Any of you? Oh, we don't want to admit right here in church. Like, sorry, Lord, there's this one spot in my house that's just not. You don't shine a light under there, because here's the thing. Even if there's not, like, stuff under there, did you vacuum underneath it? Right? Bad flashlight. When you shine that thing under there, if you just shine a light in here, you're going to see all these little things floating, right? Be like, you guys need better filters. I'm just saying. You're going to see some stuff, because the light brings everything that was in the dark. It makes it clear. It makes it known. Now, here's the truth. When the Lord comes, he's going to actually show what's in your heart, in the purpose, in everything. How many of you think you can stand in that? It really makes us not be like, Roy, you're a pretty good dude. Never mind. Because I don't want you to see what the Lord's going to show you was in my heart. Right? And so I need to focus on my heart being right with the Lord, not on yours. I got to focus on mine. And so this is what Paul says. Here's what happens. He's going to disclose it. He's going to disclose it. He's going to make it known. But he gives us a word of encouragement. He says, then each one will receive his what? His judgment? Does he say condemnation? No. His commendation. His commendation. You know why Paul writes this way? He writes this way, and he gives this explanation. He gives this instruction, and here's the application. Listen, in Christ Jesus, he's not going to be calling you to, like, every bad thing you did. No, he wants to bring you to a commendation. Who's ever been commended for something, right? Who's got a plaque for something, right? I don't care if it's good sportsmanship, right? Like, right? You got a plaque. It was a commendation, okay? I remember we got one of those, like, one year, I used to coach soccer, one year we got first place. Like, we were undefeated, right? So you got the big, giant trophy. 2 years later, guess what? We got the one that said, hey, you guys were the best sports. What he said is all your kids who could kick the ball and block the ball and take the ball, all that kind of stuff, you lost all those kids and you got all the new kids. See, that was the two differences. But they were both commendations. A commendation is this. Okay, so maybe you couldn't kick the ball so well, but guess what? You were faithful. Man, you're a good steward. Man, you showed love. And so the commendation is not, you'll notice he doesn't say, those of you who did this, you're going to get commended. No, no, no. He says, in Christ Jesus, you're going to have a commendation. And so he writes this way with this instruction and with this explanation for anybody who is living this way. Listen, he writes to the church at Corinth and says, this is what you guys are doing. But I want you to be encouraged. You don't have to keep doing this. If you hear this word, then guess what? It's time to make things right. God will show you the purpose of your heart, but you don't have to wait until that day. Because guess what? In that day, it's too late. You can ask God to show you the purpose, the intention of your heart now. And that can completely change. You can say, okay, Lord, I there's a lot of judgment. Man, I just look around and nobody's as beautiful as my bald head. Nobody's did, like, and there's all this judgment and just, right? You can be made right now. Lord, would you just get rid of that? Father, I don't want to be judgy. I don't want to start passing judgment on other people and their sins. I just want to be a light. want to be a good steward. I want what you offer me. I want that to change me. And then when I see other people, man, since I serve you, I'll see them like you see them. And so when there's somebody who's broken, I can see that it's the weight of their sin that's got them broken. It's not who they are. It's not who they are. It's definitely not who you want them to be. It's somebody who's been battling with sin, and they need a word of love. They need a word of encouragement. They maybe need a word of rebuke given in love. This is what he's doing. He's giving the church an opportunity. Hey, guys, quit passing judgment. Quit doing this. You're in Christ Jesus, and so here's the thing. Let God show you the purpose of your heart now. Now, he never says, here's the thing, because you're all perfect and beautiful. It's Christ in us that's perfect and beautiful. And it's Christ in us that calls us to change, that empowers us to change. It's when the Holy Spirit comes and shows you some things. And he says, listen, this is not of me. This is all of you. And he gives you an opportunity to respond and be like, okay, Lord, I want to be purified. I want to be changed. And so let God, let the Holy Spirit, let the blood of Christ cleanse you, work in you, change you, transform you. Let the purposes of your heart actually be his. Because the church is so good at destroying one another. There's a story of these two paddle boats. These two paddle boats, they leave Memphis at the same time, and they're traveling in the same direction down the Mississippi River. And they're headed down to New Orleans. And as they travel side by side, sailors, here's what happens, good old healthy competition, right? Sailors from one vessel, they start making remarks about how slow the other one's going, right? Any of you, following so far? Right? Good old healthy competition at work. Like, I can do this better than you. I can do this faster. Same thing. Probably sailors full of men, I'm sure. Okay. So here's the thing. Words go back and forth. Words are exchanged and back and forth and back and forth. And sooner or later, what happens is a challenge is made. And what happens when a challenge is made? A challenge is accepted. And so the race begins. And so you have these two paddle boats, right? You have these two boats. And now a paddle boat is not a row, right? A paddle boat is one that has the, right? Has an engine, has... So they start racing, and they start, you know, back and forth, back and forth. And so they're moving faster, and they're moving faster, and they're moving faster, and they're racing. And one pulls up, and then the other pulls up. And so here's this vicious race of these two boats in this deep competition. And so what happens is one boat starts to fall behind. And they started to fall behind because they realized that they didn't have enough fuel. You see, they had plenty of fuel. They had plenty of fuel to make the trip. They didn't have plenty of fuel for the race. So what happens is this one young sailor, he starts throwing items from the boat into the fire. And in so doing, a couple of things. Well, guess what? As the other sailors, they catch on, they start throwing stuff into the fire as well. And the engine's burning hotter. They're moving faster, and they start winning. And guess what? And they win. But when they get to the place, they won the race. But everything they had been called and paid for and required to carry was now consumed in the fire of the race. And so they won the race, but they lost the purpose. They lost because they used it all for fuel to win a race. And what Paul says is, hey, here's the deal. Don't burn the cargo. This is not a race. You don't have to do better. Look around. I want you to look around. See all these wonderful people? You don't have to do better than any of them. You don't have to get there faster. You don't have to be smarter. You don't have to be any of that stuff. Don't burn the cargo. Some of us have small ships that can only hold a little bit of cargo, okay? Some of you got great big vast ships. We don't judge each other on how much cargo. You know what we do? We encourage each other to be responsible and a faithful steward of the cargo that we have. So it doesn't matter how much you have, and it doesn't matter how much I have. What matters is that God gave us each what he gave us. And so we are responsible for that. And so, is it faithful? And so he's calling these pastors to be faithful, of course. And he's calling the church, hey, listen, don't judge these guys. In fact, don't judge anybody. Are you faithful with what God's given you? Now, God's gracious, and guess what? If you're faithful, Jesus, this is the principle Jesus said. Hey, if you're faithful with a little, you'll get some more. Trust me, you'll get some more. But even if you don't, are you going to be faithful with what he's given you? I want this, and I want this, and I want this. And some of you want to be closer to the Lord, and you want to be used, and you want to be all this kind of stuff. Are you being faithful to the last thing that he showed you? Here's the question. Do you know the last thing that he showed you? The last thing that he called you to? You're looking for more when you haven't been faithful and obedient to what he's called you to. It's what he's calling you to. That's it. He's only calling you to what he's calling you to. That's what it is. And so, church, if you just bow your heads for a minute. We are going to take communion. We're going to take communion together here in a few moments. But before we do, I'm going to send Brandon to go get the little noise boxes here in just a minute. But before it gets noisy in here, we need to just take a moment. What is it that God is showing you? What is it that the Holy Spirit is putting on your heart this morning? Because as we come to communion, his word is clear that we don't want to take this in an unworthy manner. Now, it's not like Lord Jesus, I confess of this and I'm going to be perfect. That's not what he's saying. But he's telling us in his word to examine our hearts, to examine ourselves, to say, Lord, I'm just asking. Would you just take your light and shine it in all the dark places? Would you just shine it everywhere? Lord, in this time as we get ready to celebrate what you did for us on the cross, that you would give of your body, that you would shed your perfect blood to make me cleansed, to make me purified, to make me right. Lord, would you show me anything? Lord, and help me to confess it. Some need to confess it publicly. Here's the beauty about following the Lord. When the Lord tells you or leads you to make a public confession, you make a public confession because here's the thing. You know that God is the one who's your judge, not this group of people. Well, I don't want to confess that because these people might think something of me. Be more worried about what God thinks. And God obviously wants you to confess something, and so confess it. And some of you maybe just need to take this time, and maybe the Holy Spirit's already put his finger on it in your heart. Maybe it's judgment. Maybe it's something that he's just been speaking to you for days or even weeks. Hey, before we take communion, would you ask the Lord to just speak to your heart? Maybe to deliver you. Not that so you could go out and just do it again or live back in it, but I mean actually deliver you, to be set free, to acknowledge the power that is available only in Christ Jesus. Church, let's not play church. Let's be done with that. Lord Jesus, as we sit in this building, Lord, we want to just thank you and praise you that you are a God who calls us to repentance. You are a God who calls us to confession. Lord, you are a God who desires and will work in and through us. And so, Lord, I pray and I ask that you would expose the intentions of our hearts, Lord, so that we would be faithful stewards, faithful servants, those who serve you, those who want to please you, Lord, that our feathers wouldn't get ruffled over small things because we serve a great and mighty God who knows what's best. And that, Lord, we just want to be a part of seeing your kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. And so, Lord Jesus, we do this because of your blood. shed on our behalf so that others would come to know and understand that as well. And we pray in your name. Amen. All right, Brandon, will you go get the kids, please? Have them come and sit with their families. All right, church, we're gonna have a little bit of time here where, as the kids are coming in, we take this time to share some testimony about if the Lord is calling you to something, if the Lord is calling you to make a public confession, if the Lord is calling you and saying, maybe you're just like, hey, this is what's been going on. I just got right with the Lord, and I just want you to pray for me. I just want to be encouraged. Whatever it is that the Lord is putting on your heart, this time right now is to share with one another. Does anybody have anything? Anything? I'm going to put it like this. Here's the thing. I'm going to say something that might ruffle some feathers. Do you have anything to praise God for? Can anybody at least stand up and make a confession of praise before we celebrate communion? Yeah. Prayer for your grandson, absolutely. For you to, okay. For her and her witness to her grandson. Prayer for her grandson. Yeah, who else? Yes, yeah, stand up. Oh, get off his throne. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Don needs to get off the Lord's throne. Okay? Who else? Yes. Yeah. Praise God, right? We've been praying for some family stuff and there was some healing. All right. That's awesome. Okay? Who else? Yes. Okay. Okay. Your dad's got some physical ailments. Yeah, okay. Okay. Did I hear that right? Okay. Okay. Yep. Nope. All right. All right. Anastasia is getting better. All right. Come on. Who else? Somebody else. Come on. We got to declare the good things. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Yeah. Anybody else? Okay. All right. Yeah. Yeah. The kids went to camp and had a great time. And they all came back? All right. Yes, the first round of kids. I'm excited. Here's the thing. I'm excited to hear about camp, about what they did. So, yeah, it's going to be exciting. Okay. Anybody else? Anybody else? All right. Praise the Lord. All right. Can Derek here, Stacy, Derek and Stacy, Alan and Brandy, Steve, are you good up there? Okay. And then would Chris and Rich come forward? Okay, church. For those who are guests, we come up and we get the communion, we get our communion elements, and then we take them back to our seats and we will take them together. And so, as I get these handed out, be nice. As I get these handed out, we will get started in just a moment. All right, church. Don't make like gangbusters, but start making your way forward. All right, come on and come and get the elements, please. Father, I just want to pray for my sister right now. Lord, I pray that you would give her healing, Lord, that you would take these aches and pains. We know that it comes with age, but Lord, I want to thank you that, Lord, she was able to persevere and get here to serve us. And so, Lord, help her, Lord, with the energy, with the strength, Lord, to persevere. Lord, if you don't take the aches away, but Lord, give her strength. We thank you, Jesus, in your name, amen. You need a bigger cup there, Jason? I know. Okay. Okay. What's your schedule look like?
Looks like we have a Bible study with the in Wednesday mornings.
Okay.
And that's
so maybe like Wednesday. Did you get one? He's got one. He's got one. Shout to the Lord, the scripture says. All right. On the night that he gave his life, he said, here's the bread, take and eat. This is my body given for you, right? He took the cup, and in the same way he said, this is my blood that was shed for the forgiveness of our sins. It was for us. This is what it took. Amen? All right. Praise the Lord, huh? We rejoice. We rejoice in what he has done for us. And so we grow in that and because of that. And so don't run off too quickly. Hey, don't forget, there's baptism sign up. Because if you want to be baptized, you need to be baptized. You and I need to have a conversation. We need to make sure that you are a good candidate for baptism. But hey, don't run off too soon. Make sure you hang out and you have some fellowship. You have some fellowship with each other. Enjoy each other. Amen? All right. Lehitra Oat.